verses as we were sitting down prior to starting the worship service, just to draw our minds. The week behind us can be busy, full of various activity, and just to focus on what God has and to worship together this morning. So if you are aware, you missed two Sundays in a row, and here we are in February already, but yet it kind of feels like the beginning of the year. So I'm going to share the first message of the year that I shared at Crosspoint with you this morning. So maybe it feels like a bit of a New Year's message, but really it's a everyday message for us as believers and not just a New Year's message. So here we are, kind of at the beginning of a year, already 1/12 of the way through at the same time. So the message title is kind of a question, and the one is kind of two different phrases, and they're, one is grammatically incorrect, but anyway, here goes. Status quo or gonna grow? Status quo or gonna grow? So we have two kind of opposing ideas. What is status quo and what is gonna grow? Because we say or, so maybe they're different. And thinking about it, maybe in the year ahead or in our life, and going forward from this point, is it going to be status quo or are we going to grow or gonna grow? Now, thinking about status quo, you may have two different ideas in your mind when you think of status quo. So I don't know if you want to venture what comes to your mind, if it's more positive or negative. So the idea of status quo, by definition, is to keep things the way they presently are. So status quo is to keep things the way they presently are. Now, if you see that as negative or positive, just in a general sense, we're not talking spiritual. We're going to be spiritual shortly, but just for introduction, we're talking about this phrase status quo, keeping the things the way they presently are. That actually may reflect our personality a bit. Some of us like change. If something stays the same too long, we're getting bored and we're ready for a new challenge, a new opportunity, whatever that might look like. Others of us may be more like, well, this everything's going good, smooth. Like, let's not bring any change into this. This is just, let's keep everything status quo. Keep it the same. Don't stir the pot, maybe we say in a casual way. So we don't really look forward to change. Maybe that would be another way to say it. Some of us enjoy or anticipate change. Others may reject or resent change. So status quo may or may not be negative. And I had to think about that. There was a setting, not spiritual in nature, which maybe it should have been, but it kind of referring to my involvement somewhere. It says, been anything but status quo. And I wasn't sure if I was supposed to take that as negative or positive. And I'll think about that off to the side. But let's bring that back to our spiritual lives. Is our spiritual life anything but status quo? It's not status quo. We're growing. It's not just staying the same place. So the idea of status quo is sometimes we feel it's safe or many times just simply easier not to change anything. Just stay where I'm at. It's easier not to change. The difficult path is to make change or grow, which requires energy, decision, will, effort, whatever the words are that we could use there. And we fail to grow because we choose not to make the hard or difficult choices in life. So if you think about this phrase status quo, we're going to spend more of the time this morning talking about growing, but I'm just going to think about it from a spiritual word or a biblical word. As you know, as Bible readers, status quo is not in the scripture. You don't find that word in the scripture. If you were trying to think after that brief introduction of a word that could fit, just more of a biblical word, to this idea of status quo or just staying where I'm at, does anybody want to venture a guess? And there's maybe more than one here, not necessarily a right or wrong. Curious what you think would be a biblical word for status quo. Lukewarm is one of them. It's in the scripture text we're going to turn to. Do you want to tell us what that scripture text is? No, that's fine. I don't know. It's Lukewarm, excellent. That's one of the two that I had, so you're good. You passed the test. Anyone else? Stagnant is a word that fits with status quo, definitely in some of the definitions. One of the definitions of status quo, it talks about complacency, stagnation, missed opportunities, but that wasn't the biblical word I'm thinking of, but it is part of the definition of the word status quo. So good one. Anyone else yet? The word that I thought of, and I know it may not be a direct tie, is complacency. Complacency. So there's two words that are kind of similar and yet very different. So we can think of them, first of all, biblical words now, contentment and complacency. Both kind of have this idea of being satisfied where I'm at. You get that? Contentment and complacency. But they're very, very different. In fact, a study of those words, which we're not going to go into deeply this morning, by definition, a biblical definition of contentment might be trust and satisfaction in God's provision and sovereignty. I like that definition. You could come up with another one. Again, one more time. Contentment, trust, and satisfaction in God's provision and sovereignty. So that's contentment. It is this idea of being satisfied. Then in contrast, complacency is self-satisfied. Indifference, self-satisfied indifference that resists growth, obedience, and repentance. Again, self-satisfied indifference that resists growth, obedience, and repentance. So one is this satisfaction or trust in God, and the other is self-satisfaction, or I'm satisfied, I'm good enough. And if you take that and boil it down, we can almost go back to humility and pride as the root of those two different mindsets. So in our Christian life, we are to be content or completely satisfied in Christ, trusting completely in His will and purpose for our lives. That's contentment. But on the other hand, we are never done growing. We always have room to grow. We can grow in our love, devotion, obedience, and in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Complacency, as Dan mentioned, one of the words is lukewarm, and you can open your Bibles to Revelation 3, 14 through 18. Some of you may know which church we're going to reference here as we think about this idea of complacency, spiritual complacency, or self-satisfied indifference. And you see in this church, one of the seven churches here in Revelation 3, 14 through 18, the Laodicean church is self-satisfied indifferent. And we can be at the same place, self-satisfied and indifferent. We think we're at a pretty good spot spiritually. We're part of a good church. We're part of a good family. We're doing a lot of great things, but we're not growing in the way that Christ would have us to grow. Revelation 3, 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So we see this complacency in the Laodicean church, feeling that they were, the word maybe we could use here is secure, settled, or maybe a term we would use today is smug, in a sense. They're just very comfortable. I'm in a good place. No really need to do anything different or change here. And we know in our Christian experience, we've never arrived. I know Levi is pretty far ahead of me in life in many different ways, but I would say probably if you ask Levi, he doesn't feel like he's arrived yet. And I, just like any saint would say, Paul says the very same thing when he's talking to the Philippian church. And you can turn there for our text this morning, Philippians 3, 7 through 21. And we all know Paul, and you know, we can just read this passage so haphazardly, but to really think about a person with the spiritual maturity, spiritual life experience of Paul, and what God had taken him through and shown him, and how God was so real in his life. And then the text would be verses 10 through 14, but I'm going to read 7 through 21 for context this morning. But to seek to grow, not the status quo. And here, Paul talking about his desire to continue in his growth. So, in summary, as we read this, if Paul needed to grow, I need to grow, you need to grow. You may be a mature saint, and some of you have reached levels of maturity in certain areas of life that I may not have. But still, each one of us, no matter how mature or how faithful we've been, we still want to be growing and never satisfied in where we are, or self-righteous in where we are at. Philippians 3, 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we have a passage of scripture here where Paul is recognizing his own lostness and counting everything, nothing of his own, that humility that we've talked about in Sunday school. But in even all of that experience, recognizing that he has not attained. So the first thing that I'd like to look at here as we think about this status quo or gonna grow, the pursuit or pursuing growth, the recognize the need for continual growth. And it's spelled out. The NIV, the same verses there, verse 12 and 13, 14, it sounds like this. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, But I press on to take hold for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So you see the words there, they're strong words. You see press on, straining toward, and again in verse 14, press on. In your King James, it uses the word follow after, and probably not the best interpretation or wording. When we think of following after, we kind of think of this casualness of following after. The word here would be better, and Young's literal translation uses the word, both verse 12 and 14, the word pursue. So if we're going to grow, it's going to be a persistent pursuit. Think of those two words together, persistent pursuit. If you're going to grow spiritually, it needs to be a persistent or consistent would be another word we could use there, pursuit of God. It's not haphazard, this, oh, I'm following after God, kind of going that direction. No, it's a pursuit, a persistent pursuit, a consistent pursuit of God. We're going to know and follow after Him. The word actually translated here, pursue, in some passages, I think Matthew 11 is one of them, it's actually translated persecute. So the idea of someone pursuing somebody, to persecute someone, to follow after them, to pursue them. So are we pursuing growth? And Paul says, I need to pursue growth. I'd like to be practical here with the message this morning, and whether there's never a right time. Sometimes we focus on, you know, I'm going to change some habits or behavior, or going to do something different as we go into a new year. And I think there's a place and a purpose for that. But I'd like to challenge us, you know, if we're going to say we can, okay, status quo or going to grow, we can all leave here this morning and we can say, what is our goal to grow? We want to grow spiritually. We don't want to stay stagnant, complacent in our Christian experience. We want to grow in Christ in the days, weeks, and years ahead. That's our goal. But to pursue God and to know Him. So I'm going back to verse 10 here and going to take some practical things from verse 10. And the first phrase in verse 10 is that I may know Him. That I may know Him. So we can say that we know someone. We know maybe somebody through work, we may know their name. We may see them 3 times a year, so we know them. If somebody asks, do you know Bob? Yes, I know Bob. He's a salesman that comes through my office a couple times a year, so I know Bob. But then I have other people in my life, probably the most intimate way, I know my wife. I have a relationship. And I think this morning I'd just like to challenge us in our knowing God. How personal, how deep, how meaningful is that daily connection with God, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. We know about a lot. We can know a lot about God and not know Him or have that deep personal relationship. Jeremiah 9:23-24. You don't need to turn here. I'll just read a few verses from Jeremiah 9:23-24. As I thought over the past year, about God and knowing Him and what it means, these verses stood out to me. Jeremiah 9:23 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Powerful verses. You know, there's a lot of things that we would say would be endeavors that would be worth following after, or you see people pursuing, and that would be wisdom. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mightier strength, to pursue strength, to gain strength. That people pursue that, spend a lot of energy. Mighty man, glory in his might. Let not the rich man, wealth is a pursuit. You can pursue wealth, and it's a never-ending pursuit of wealth. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth in glory in this, in that he understandeth and knoweth me. If we're going to glory in something, there's something we should strive for. If we're going to be proud of something or have glory in something, glory in that we know God. Know and understand God, to know him personally. And there are there's various practical steps, and it would almost be interesting for each one of us to go maybe around and say, I spent a year doing this, or I took a month to do this, and I really grew spiritually during that time. Whatever those experiences, or maybe identify an area of spiritual growth in your life and think what coincided with that spiritual growth as well. So you can look at spiritual growth in both dynamics. But we said earlier that status quo is just like kind of being complacent or standing back. Growth in reverse is intentional. Growth is intentional. So here we're thinking about intentional things that we can do to grow spiritually. And I'm sure there's other good ones. But maybe just a few that I would share with you. And these aren't maybe order of importance, or other areas could come to mind. But in our devotional life, more than just reading a passage, some things that can help in growth, spiritual growth. If you're going to grow, try journaling for a time period. Write a couple notes down. If that is not your thing, if you don't have good handwriting, you can't concentrate in the morning well enough to write well, another way you can do this, and I've done this, is try to find some time during the week where you can take the devotional, be prepared, what you read in the morning, to share that with someone. Not to say that I commit to every day sharing what I read in my devotional with someone, but if I come on getting an encounter where whatever was practical, whatever God spoke to me in the practical aspect of my devotional, could I take what I read this morning and at 1 o'clock be in a relevant conversation to that devotional and share that with someone? Basically, it's kind of like having your devotional like you're going to need to teach Sunday school. It's kind of that same concept, but just taking that more on a daily personal level. Read your devotional so that at 1 o'clock you could share some insight with another individual about that devotional. I know maybe these seem too practical, but it's just ways. If we're going to grow, like, take some kind of intentional step, and you may have a lot better one. If you do, you're allowed to shout it out here after I get done talking shortly. That's fine. So do that. One other thing that I was involved with at one point, I was part of a men's group, and we took one day of the week where, let's say on Monday it was my turn, on Tuesday it was Dan's turn, on Wednesday it was Clyde's turn, just down through, and you would text out or message out to the group about what you read for devotional and what was the practical application that you took from that. And that was meaningful, that at least once a week you shared your devotional in some type of written format with a group. And that was a time of growth for me, doing that and sharing with them. There's different devotional books. There's Bibles that are formatted to read through the Bible in a year. If you're new to reading through the Bible in a year, just if you're taking that challenge, for some of you, that may be an acceptable challenge and you have adequate time for that. Others, that can be like rushing through reading so much scripture that you don't get anything out of it. If you're not ready for that, or if you want to take a different challenge, just try. There's guides you can follow to read through the New Testament in a year as well. So if you have a schedule that doesn't allow that much time to read, at a minimum, I would encourage you to get a reading schedule that in a year's time you could read through the New Testament. That is not to mitigate the value of reading through the whole Bible in a year. Excellent endeavor, and I would encourage you to do that a couple of times in your life, and some of you may do it consistently year after year, and that's commendable. So if you're going to grow, that time with God and in His Word. Second part of time with God is our prayer time. If we're going to grow, and maybe this is the one as I studied that spoke to me the most, our daily time with God and in His Word, but it is very intentional. I need to be very intentional with a busy schedule to take time in prayer, meaningful prayer, not three sentences. Here's my problems for the day. God, fix them and we'll have a good day. And maybe a few of you are smiling because maybe you pray those prayers once in a while, just like I, we get busy, and that's a little bit how our prayers can sound sometimes. So an area where if you want to grow spiritually in the next year or in your spiritual life, work on developing a meaningful prayer life. A time, and I'm not arrived, but I've grown in this area, and some of the words that come to mind when I spend those times with God, it's words like communion, fellowship, to confide, to trust in, to praise, adore. Think about all of those things. If in your prayer life, you can think about what it means to praise Him, to adore Him, to just commune with God. Allow Him to speak through His Spirit as you enter into that time. This isn't something that really happens in 5 minutes, many times not even in 10. I'm not sure I can sing with the psalmist's sweet hour of prayer, but I think we should think more about more time beyond the 5 minutes. There's plenty of place in our day for some five-minute prayers, and we need to have those as well. But if you're going to grow, maybe it is something, I try not to set standards so high that we can't achieve them, but maybe it's 2 days a week where your schedule allows for that extended time in prayer. Take that. I honestly believe that this is an area where you will experience growth. We could do a whole sermon on prayer. I'm not getting all the scriptural background for this morning. But if you're going to grow in your daily connection with God, include time in His Word and time in communion and fellowship with Him in prayer. You will grow and experience a new knowledge, understanding, a knowing of your Heavenly Father, your God, your Lord, your Savior. So we see that call for to be connected in a daily connection with Him. The second thing we see then is that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. This transforming power. Pursue transforming power. Pursue knowing Him. Pursue His power to live a life that is victorious, to walk in newness of life. I'm just going to read a passage from Romans 6, verses 4 through 11, and I'm not going to make a lot of comments on this one. Pursue the transforming power, the power of God, the power of the resurrection in our lives that transforms us to walk daily in this new life with Him. Romans 6, starting at verse 4. Pursue transforming power. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, and that the body of sin be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we, being dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Pursue the power of His resurrection to live a victorious Christian life. Don't excuse sin. We said this complacency or the status quo, it ignores sin. To live, we can, through the power of Christ living within us, not on our own strength. But if we're going to grow, we need to be victorious over sin. Allow the transforming power, the power of the resurrection. You can't imagine what kind of power it actually takes, spiritual power, to raise someone from the dead. I don't know that we can quite comprehend everything that goes on in the spiritual realm, but the power that came back to take and raise Christ from the dead, that same power, there's spiritual power available to you and I so that we can live victorious and we don't have to be caught in the grips of sin. We're not going to grow if we make excuse for sin in our lives. We are not claiming the power of Christ in our lives. If we're going to grow, we can't live in sin. We need to be dead to sin, alive unto Christ. The last phrase in verse 10 then is, after that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings. This is complete obedience and full surrender. Pursue complete obedience and full surrender. That we lay our lives down. We're going to grow. We need to have that personal relationship. And we need to surrender ourselves completely to Him. We need to live victoriously over sin and then surrender our lives to Him completely. Matthew 16, very familiar verses here. Matthew 16, 24 through 27. And we're talking about the fellowship of His suffering, pursuing complete obedience and complete surrender. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, and He says it to you and I also, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Taking up our cross daily and following Christ. If we're going to grow, we need to be willing to surrender all of our life to Christ. Follow after Him with complete obedience. Remember, we said in the very beginning, a lot of times we don't want to grow because of the effort, the energy, the sacrifice it's going to take. You take any other area in life, if you're going to grow and you're going to grow muscle so that you can be stronger, it's going to take a lot of sacrifice. You're going to have to give something up for that growth to happen. And it's the same way in our spiritual lives. We're not going to grow. If we're going to keep saying, me, my, I, and protect things and areas and set aside parts of our lives that we won't allow the Lord to take complete control of, growth won't happen. Growth happens as we sacrifice ourself and our self-will to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Are you going to be satisfied with status quo, or are you going to grow? Learn to know your Lord and Savior. Learn to know Him in a personal way. Grow. I know you all have personal relationships with the Lord. Grow in that personal relationship. And then follow Him in complete obedience, surrendering all of life to Him. And we can grow in our walk, and it would be more meaningful each and every day. Let's pause to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the example in Your Word of the life of Paul and just his personal testimony to desire to grow in his spiritual pilgrimage. And as we're together this morning as believers, brothers and sisters in the Lord, it is also our desire to grow to know You in a deeper and more personal way. So Lord, as You've spoke to us this morning in various aspects of Your scripture and the speaking of Your word, Lord, that we would take these challenges and apply them to our lives so that we can know you more and more and grow in our love for you more and more each day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.